seen anything like that?
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
Welcome along, Golf Weekly friends. We are here. Nathan Murphy in studio. Hello.
How are you?
You're the busiest man in News Talk buildings right now, I know. So good man for stepping in. And Fionn Davenport, who has a flight very shortly, you are hanging on. And you've also made a big effort to be here. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
Studio as well. Good man.
You have a flight hanging on?
Yeah. It's on the tarmac waiting for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Travel writers' rights.
I was just going to say, I'd say Aer Lingus literally like, if Fionn tweets that he hasn't made his flight, we can't have that. So whatever flight he wants.
What would that do to the share price if you tweeted that?
See, the thing is, if I don't get this flight, it'll cost me £300 to get the one afterwards.
What?
Yeah.
Surely you have some sort of a...
Doesn't matter.
Gold card.
I do.
And does that not get you...
Gets me into the lounge.
Changes.
No, because you buy the three different tier type. So you can I buy the cheapest one. So it's like that flight, no changes.
I was on honeymoon recently, as you know. Mm? We got to Dublin Airport. We said, what the hell? Let's go into the nicest lounge we can find. And so we went down an elevator in Terminal 2. Mm. I thought, Terminal 2 lounge is going to be extra nice.
There's three lounges there.
Okay. Well, we walked to the one that all the signs were directing you towards, which seemed to be the nice one. And we got there and we looked in and we thought, ugh.
That's just the regular lounge. It's not great.
What
not
about great, that 52? What's that new one called?
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one if you're 51st state, isn't it? 51 in green or whatever.
Yeah.
That's if you're on the American side. Once you've gone through American customs, then there's a business lounge.
That one's better, I presume.
It's all right. The Aer Lingus lounge, which is just for passengers of Aer Lingus and BA, is actually lovely.
That's quite nice. Yeah.
It's next.
The only problem with it
it's
is
it's next door to the one you looked into.
There's no food.
There is.
I'm always there in the morning.
Are you?
Like on a Sunday if I'm going to a Premier League match. And like
they have like
there's no breakfast.
No, there's not. You're right. But the brown bread with the cheese, that's nice.
Yeah, but
you want breakfast.
I want the full Irish fry up. This is what you should be getting.
I agree with that.
No, okay.
When it used to be an experience, you know.
Yeah.
When flying
was something. When you have a glass of port and a cigar.
Well, I think we walked the Aer Lingus one, by the way.
Like I'm there stealing 25 packs of biscuits just to justify my existence.
Compared to other lounges in other airports, yeah.
I don't have much experience.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we went back up to Terminal 2 and we thought it was just as good, you know. Yeah. That was the experience. And it doesn't cost €300 routinely to get a flight.
No, but like literally, if I was to buy a flight that's leaving in an hour.
Yeah.
If I booked this flight a week ago, it would cost me £42.
You need to be an Irish football international.
To get on.
He regularly misses flights.
Kilban.
But still never pays for...
Kevin Kilban.
Do they not sting him?
No, he walks up to the Aer Lingus desk and goes, I'd say at this stage they're literally like, you again.
Hi, Kev.
So, yeah. And they just put him on the next flight.
Yeah.
So
does he give it the all? I was just helping some children, charity work, and I got delayed because I had to get a picture with all of them.
Yeah.
How much is it for another flight?
You wouldn't put it past them.
So, good man. So you're flying back this evening.
Yeah.
Dave Tyrrell was in touch by tweet. Lad, super interview. This is with Stephanie Meadow. We had in 2 weeks ago. It was very good. We'll have to keep an eye out for Steph on the LPGA this season. So you'll be seeing Stephanie Meadow.
The two of you did that one.
Yeah. We did.
Yeah.
Oh, because I saw it only afterwards that you were doing it. Because I saw in my podcast menu that Golf Weekly came up. And I was like, I wasn't.
We thought to ourselves, do we need Fionn on Skype to also ask questions?
No, you don't. It's
and
true.
That was the answer.
No, it's true. It's true.
Raimi Burns was in touch.
Ah, no. Friend of mine.
The great Raimi.
Yep.
Brilliant show tonight, he said, of the Stephanie Meadow podcast. That's an endorsement we'll take. Ricky Joyce said, great having you back today, man. There you go. There was a lot of love. And Paul O'Neill, at Golf and Food, but Golf Addict, said, simply at a loss as to why at Golf Weekly OTB doesn't have a designated spot on Add Off the Ball. Similar to Monday Night Rugby, this Stephanie Meadow piece is gold.
I must listen to it.
She was very impressive, very likeable. Mm. And Danny Finnan, who has the Twitter handle @shiteinabucket, if you want to get in touch with Danny, said, Gray McDowell giving some great insights into Lewis Hamilton's World Championship win right now on Off the Ball.
Was that true? Is he being sarcastic?
There was somebody on who had an American
twang. Sorry, that one, the Pint of Guinness.
That old chestnut.
Pint of Guinness with the guys.
Where are we at the moment?
Was he making the point that Stephanie Meadow has a Graham McDowell style accent?
Oh, somebody else did. Somebody else said, well, somebody said, what is it with all these Northern Irish golfers losing their accent? In fairness to Meadow, though, she's been over this since she was like 12.
It's also worth pointing out that the American accent that we understand is in, not exclusively, but in large part dictated by a Northern Irish inflection.
Why is that?
Just because just Irish, a lot of Irish people went to, and it just affected the way American accents were developed. They're very similar from a kind of a phonetic point of view. It's very easy for a Northern Irish person to lapse into an American accent. Mm. Even, it's a similar one. I did phonetics in college. It's a similar, like, even though they sound completely different, the Dublin accent and the Liverpool accent are phonetically almost identical, even though they don't sound the same in the ear. But the way you break it down in terms of vowels and consonants and how you pronounce things is that they're very close to each other. So it's very easy to mimic a Liverpool accent for a Dubliner. And I don't know if it's the same for Liverpool.
Wow. Yeah. It makes sense. Obviously, it's a very Irish city. Is that right?
Yeah.
And do you know from your phonetics learnings what the most influential European accent is in America?
It's a combination. It depends. The New York accent is Irish, German people speaking. But like, say, for example.
Irish and German.
Yeah. So say, for example.
Doesn't sound great in my head.
No. So say Houston, Texas, right?
What's a Houston accent?
No. Say Houston, Texas, yeah. Right? But in New York, it's Houston, which is direct from.
You can hear a Northern Irish person saying
yes,
like that.
Yes, it's Houston. It's called Houston Street. That kind of Brooklyn accent, that's a mix of Irish, Eastern European, because these are the immigrants that made up the city. So when that get out of here, forget about it. That's all, and a touch of Italian, of course. But like, they're all in there, and you can hear it. Anyway, but in phonetics, it's very interesting. It's actually a very interesting field of
study. I would think so, yeah. Mm. And why did you just study phonetics? What was that part of
it? Because I was doing linguistics.
And was linguistics part of your degree, or was it your whole degree?
No, stop.
What was your whole degree?
French. I did French and history.
And what was linguistics?
As part of French language, so there was like a module on linguistics and phonetics.
Ah. Mm.
There you go.
How's your French?
Pas mal. Pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I did part of my schooling in French. I went to a bilingual school in New York for a few years.
Yeah.
So I did, and I lived in Paris for a few years during my postgraduate degree. So
you properly get that.
Huh?
How was that?
It was good. I mean,
debaucherous.
It was very debaucherous, yeah. Sorry, that, I assume that's what you were getting at.
That's all he was getting at.
I never finished.
What museums did you visit?
I never.
The Eiffel Tower.
I never finished the postgraduate degree. I got distracted by other things.
Hmm. What was your postgraduate degree in? French?
No, history. French history, but.
French history.
Yeah. Right. I did a doctoral thesis on the emergence of the extreme right in the years immediately following World War I in France.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Could make a lot of money with that sort of thing right now.
I mean, did you always want a corporate lifestyle then? Or?
I was saying this to somebody recently. Every one of my life choices.
Oh my God.
Every single one of my life choices have been an avoidance of anything that would secure any kind of career, really. Yes. Every one.
Yes. Like, could you be less determined to make a living?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said to someone, we were talking about my lack of pension. I can't believe I'm going to admit this, but I made the joke that the most financially responsible thing I can do is to die young.
Oh, dear. When did you... Have you a pension now?
No.
Nothing?
No. I have a house.
He's got Golf Weekly.
I have Golf Weekly. I think Golf Weekly's coming good. Is it, honestly,
if you went to a financial person now, would they say there's no point in starting a pension at this age?
There would be, or that the what I'd have to put into a pension in order to make what like it would
all
leave
of your golf week
not enough money
where
to buy
do you
food.
Get a pension now?
I don't know.
In England, what's the pension like in Britain?
Well, the state pension is nonsense, but I don't know if I'm. I mean, I've only become tax compliant in England since in the last couple of years, so.
Mm. You'll have the NHS, I suppose.
Well, for how long? I mean, given what most likely will happen.
Up for sale.
It'll be up for sale. I'll be paying American style.
Do you have a pension?
Premiums.
Just got one.
Oh, yes.
That's late on, isn't it? Ish.
But you're only, what are you, 35?
37.
Yeah. Do you have a pension? Of course you have a pension.
Joe's had a pension since she was
12.
18, I'd say.
First thing I did the day after my communion.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I've had one since I was about 29, 28.
Good for you.
But I like wasn't able to put much money into it for first years at all, you know, a bit more now. The odd, you can do the odd like one-off payment now, which
really
would have gone to the revenue either way. So you might as well put it into your pension.
Sure.
So they incentivize it pretty well. You can put in lump sums. Mm. But geez, I've no doubt when the day comes, I'll rock in and
here's your 8 euro a week.
Grave looking young man will say he's very sorry, but it's just been a tough time. I mean, it might look like the economy's been booming for the last 15 years, but actually stocks have taken a hit. And
what about all those people who paid into private pension funds like 10 years ago, all of a sudden were told, well, there's 50% of your pension gone.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Well, mine's totally private, obviously. There's no, I mean, we don't have a pension here at work, so it's private all the way. So you can get completely screwed. Like, it's just bad timing. And then a lot of people put it into banks, obviously. That was a completely bad idea.
So here on Finance Weekly,
I'm wondering how much longer we can keep going here.
why does it annoy people so much that
we talk
Graham
about
McDowell has an American accent? I never understood it.
It smacks of inauthenticity.
Come on.
No, I'm with you.
I think that's what it is.
But it smacks of inauthenticity.
I think everyone understands. Who does your man think he is?
Everyone understands that the American accent and the Northern Ireland accent.
Yeah. Phonetically.
Yeah, phonetically are very similar.
It used to be, and he was such a figure of fun, you know, 10 years ago.
Was he?
Yeah, you'd always have the thing, you're pining against us with the guys. And it's always.
Did you hear this? You know the cold beers video?
It's been taken down. That's a shocker.
What?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
That didn't happen by accident.
The whole cold beer thing has somehow
missed
passed.
Have you missed this video?
Yes.
We still have ways in here to get it.
Okay.
The lads still can get to it. I don't know how outside, but they can still get to it. There's a YouTube video of Graham McDowell playing pool.
It's probably 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
Doing the PGA Tour profile
thing. Yeah.
They ask him, like, what's your favourite movie? And he says, so many to choose from.
I know.
Shawshank Redemption.
It's all
Social Network.
Social Network was a choice.
Social Network.
Yeah. Which came out that year. He's like, come on, Graham, Jesus.
Just so happens, the best movie ever has just been made.
I just saw it yesterday.
But people in the crowd at events started shouting at him, cold beer! So I think he got wind of this on Twitter, obviously, and it's been taken down off YouTube.
Well, I nearly made a horrible mistake at the Open this year when Graham McDowell had finished his final round at piss and rain up in Portrush, and he was in very good form. He'd had a very good week. He was very happy with the Open coming to his hometown, and he was turning 40 maybe a week or two later.
Is he still all that young?
And whatever way the conversation in the interview was, one of these where you're stretching, all stretched to try and get a question in, whatever way it had gone, it was all very relaxed. He was on about the party or something, and I was literally, it had just set us up so nicely for me to go, you're going to have a few cold beers. Not knowing at the time maybe he wasn't a fan of this, assuming he would go, ha ha ha, good one, yeah, lots of cold beers. Maybe watch Social Network. He'd really get in it, and it would be a brilliant clip that all of us in the office would have a great laugh for.
Yeah.
But just as I was about to ask it, it went in another way. And never happened. And somebody came to me and was like, somehow sensed what I was. It's like, were you about to ask him about the cold beers? I was like, how did you know? I was like, I could just tell. It's like, I'm really glad you didn't do that because
not a fan.
Have you spent any time in Florida, like in that kind of collegiate, you know,
no.
College guy?
I went to Florida when I was 17.
It's
for 3 weeks.
That's the world.
And stayed in a hostel with my 24-year-old cousin, which I will say was a. Quite an experience.
Wouldn't be the ideal way to do it, I don't think.
Oh, trust me, when I was 17, it was very much the ideal way to do it.
But these guys, like, I mean, to our ears, and probably to my mind, like, it's all cheese ball. Like, this environment, this, like, you know, college guys, you know, I want to see the Gators on Sunday, going to the game. It's just like, ugh. And his, you know, like it or not, Graham McDowell left Ireland a long time ago and is fully immersed in that US life. So, I mean, that he's kind of...
If he's gone 40, and I just did think he was that bit older...
22 years.
He's been there for more than half his life.
Yes.
It'd be weird if he didn't have an American twang.
Yeah,
absolutely. But he picked it up pretty
Married
quickly.
Married to an American girl. Mm. I'd imagine that the bulk of his close friends are American. All his college buddies. I had an American accent when I moved home, so I lived there when I was a kid. And it was horrible. It was like, and
they knocked the shite out of you.
It was horrendous. Oh. It was like right today, there would be a huge, big, long Twitter thread about bullying. It was horrendous. I came back 1983, early 84. I was 15.
It must have been like going back in time.
And I came back. I lived in New York, and I came back, and it was the accent I had.
But were you not super cool coming back?
No,
it was a bit before Michael Jordan. But were you not?
You joking me? No.
Runners and
see, this
listening
is
to hip hop.
I say I loved my school. Eventually, I loved it. But I went into a school in a community that was very locked in into itself. And so outside, anybody outside was seen with mistrust, or, and particularly, it's a bit like you were saying, it's like, who do you think you are? And
well, they would have been threatened on some level by you.
And at 15, like, you got this kid who goes, "Hey guys," and you're like,
"Oh my god,
all right, ow, ow."
Did you?
Oh yeah, no, but I defend my. But it was horrible. For about a year, it was horrible.
That's rough.
It was really grim.
And you were happy in America.
Yes.
To be dragged out of there.
See, the thing is, my dad.
Were you in New York City?
Yeah.
In Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's like going back 40 years in time.
I went from Manhattan to back to Blanche.
God, I explained so much.
Yeah. No wonder you're a troubled soul.
Yeah, no, listen. I remember, anybody old enough might remember this, but like at the time, the fashion for North Dublin was white socks with like slip-on grey plastic shoes. And I threw anything to fit in.
Yeah, sure.
And the other thing is, my father made fun of me, was that because I have a pretty good ear for accents, so that I worked really hard to get my hardcore accent back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How are you? And I'd come home, and my dad had, I grew up with a fairly neutral accent, and I'd be coming in and go, "No, don't want any dinner." And my dad was like, "What the name of Christ is wrong with you?
You only came back 2 days ago."
Anyway.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Good tangent, fellas.
And there was us wondering what we'd fill the pod with this week.
Yeah, well, there's not much going on. So Rory McIlroy today,
DP
World Tour Championship is ongoing. McIlroy has hit what he says is possibly the best shot I've hit all year. We saw this live, actually.
Mm. Was this 118?
The one shot we've seen all day. Par 5, 18th. 286-yard missile of a 3-wood. He has carded an 8 under 64. He said, "I usually carry my 3-wood about 280 off the deck."
Oh, for goodness.
Don't we all? It was right on the limit, but as soon as I hit it, I knew it was perfect.
Good for him.
So he's won this tournament twice before, obviously, most recently 2015. Victory this week would tie his personal best with 5 wins in a calendar year. Elsewhere, John Rahm 66 for the day. Mike Lorenzo Vera is the leader, 63. Tommy Fleetwood 65. Shane Lowry, one of the few players in the mix to win the overall race to Dubai, +1. So not a good day for Lowry. Bernd Wiesberger is leading, which is not the most glamorous.
Hang on, what did he shoot?
No, he's leading the entire race to Dubai.
Yeah, no, he's leading it. Yeah.
So it's Wiesberger, Fleetwood, Rahm, Lowry, and Fitzpatrick in the mix.
Yes.
McIlroy would be very much in the mix, but he didn't take out his tour card until May, so some of those WGC points don't go towards it.
Did you see it's the biggest first prize in the history of tournament golf? $3 million.
Mm. For the winner?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's bigger than the Masters, US Open, PGA Championship, or Open Championship. Like, whatever problems the European Tour, they're going to go, "Lads, the race to Dubai, we're going to have the single biggest prize fund there is in golf."
It still feels like it's been dead for the last month.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Yeah, I agree. I watched the South African golf last week, and Tommy Fleetwood.
Yes.
He basically took the paddles to resuscitate the corpse, like on that Sunday. Clear. And shot this amazing 65 with 3 eagles in 6 holes. Mm. And then that playoff, I have to say, it was scorching golf to watch. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And no disrespect to the guys whose name I can't remember.
Marcus Kinholt.
Yeah, Kinholt. No disrespect to Kinholt, but Fleetwood was just so brilliant to see him win.
Yeah.
He's just class.
First time since January 2018.
19 months.
He was very emotional if you didn't see it.
Yeah.
And he's knocked Bryson DeChambeau out of the world's top 10. So that was a big win for Fleetwood. By the way, I haven't checked the world's top 10 in a long time. Koepka's number one, followed by Rory, who's obviously been lighting it up.
Yep.
It must be said, over the last 6 months. Dustin Johnson is 3, Justin Thomas is 4, then John Rahm. Patrick Cantlay is the world number 6, Tiger Woods is 7, then it goes Rose, Xander Schauffele, and Fleetwood. That is your world's top 10.
How freaky is it that Woods is 7?
Like, he's won twice this year.
Yeah. Big tournaments. Won the Tour Championship last year.
And did you notice...
It's 3 wins in 12 months, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Did you notice that Mickelson dropped out of the world's top 50 for the first time in 20-something years?
Yeah, early 90s.
Yeah.
By the way, Rory has Niall O'Connor, former Ulster River player, on his bag. Harry Diamond has had a child. And frankly, he's just too busy spending all that moolah since Rory.
Well, but this is not the week you want to miss, is it?
That's a good point, yeah.
$3 million.
McIlroy said, "I feel like I could play this place blindfolded. I've been coming back here for 10 years. I know it like the back of my hand." So it's also the easiest week in Niall O'Connor's life as well. Now working in New York. Doesn't sound so bad.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Imagine getting that call. "Do you want to come to Dubai, caddy me for a week? We'll give you 10%. What's the prize fund? Oh, it's the biggest prize fund ever in the history of golf for one tournament. So if I win,
yeah,
and I can play this course with my eyes closed, you just literally need to carry my bag. Do not talk. Do not say a word. Yeah. I know every club. I know every shot. And you're going to get 300 grand.
Would he give him 10%?
I think he would, because he's his friend. And
well, also, because Matt Kuchar's ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, Matt has ruined it.
Like, as much as he trusts Niall, you know what, Niall going back to New York, going, oh my God, you got 10%. He was like, no, I didn't actually, I got
30 grand. Yeah.
Because Rory, I'm on his full-time caddy. Mm.
And Rory is playing very well. I mean, it must be said, Rory is playing very, very well. Are we daring to get a bit excited about Augusta?
Absolutely. Oh, about Augusta, no. No.
Not even a touch.
Yeah, no, I think I...
Starting to believe. No?
I am excited. I don't know if I'm believing. But I won't believe it till I see it.
Yeah, okay.
You won't it's like Tiger's come back.
You won't believe it till Sunday evening.
No, I think if he... I still think if he gets himself in contention over the next couple of years, eventually he'll win it.
One will have to fall his way. Mm. I tell you who won't see it, Nathan.
Who's that?
The good people watching on BBC.
Oh.
This sport is trying to eat itself. So BBC has been bringing you the Masters since 1963. Basically, every golfer who's been interviewed ever on this side of the world talks about remembering watching the Masters as a kid and thinking, my God, that looks so cool. Probably us included. I know you're a big Open fan, but for me, it was the Masters growing up. So no live coverage from the Masters will be shown on terrestrial TV in the UK for the first time in 57 years from 2020, all 4 days on Sky Sports. Usually there was the live coverage on the Saturday and the Sunday. They had Harrington last year. They had Azinger. It was good. Good alternative. Andrew Cotter in commentary. No ads. So now it's just highlights on BBC. They say following the conclusion of each day's play. So Lord knows what time.
Half 11 at night.
Start time. So that's another retrograde step for the world of golf. You now can't get any golf on terrestrial TV, basically.
No. Mm.
There you go. No Masters.
We obviously live in a Sky Sports world and don't appreciate this. But I do remember being in a hotel in Stoke last year on the Saturday night, and obviously there's no Sky Sports in the hotel room, and you suddenly realise, thank God for the BBC.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do people do who don't have Sky Sports? Mm-hmm.
They don't see it.
And an awful lot of people who, like, the only reason for having Sky is for the Premier League, because it's the only way you can really justify it if you're watching quite a bit of football on it. So,
but even still,
you won't get it for golf, I don't think. Unless you're a massive golf fan, you get it for those 4 months. Mm. But it's tough. And Tiger Woods winning the Masters, we could go back and check, I suspect 6, 7, 8, 9 million people were watching on the BBC that evening.
It was Sunday evening, so
it was a great time. It was at 4 or 5 o'clock, wasn't it?
You've got to remember, Sky Sports record viewing figures for anything are about 2.2 million.
Yeah. Is it still that low, yeah.
For a football match.
Okay.
Jeez.
So that's what you're giving up. I just wonder about this, I really do. I don't think it's the right decision.
I don't know.
And that's nothing against Sky, because Sky's coverage is brilliant.
We'd all be watching still on Sky.
And it's always brilliant. Yeah. But these are, as you say, your 3-4 opportunities a year to get the rest of the world.
Yeah. To be moment interested. Of the year. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, you're flirting now, Fleetwood's coming good, McIlroy's coming good. Mm. Like, a British public.
Yeah, I agree. Eddie Pepperell.
Eddie Pepperell. Well, come on to Pepperell. I know you're mad to talk about this.
But I love this story.
So.
Oh, Eddie. Yeah.
So that's Rory today. Really good. I'm starting to believe.
Like, there's still
He's had a great year relative to the previous, say, six in putting.
5 wins if he wins this week.
In putting. No, no, look, I mean, he's obviously playing out of his skin and he is the form player, but I don't know. His putting just always, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't argue too much with that. So Eddie Pepperell, everyone knows this. Wait, what's your hot take on this?
I don't know if it's a hot take. It's like...
You need a hot take.
Oh, yeah, sorry. My hot
a pension
take
and a hot take are the two necessities in the modern world.
That's the way to be meta. He absolutely sent it.
Your Northside in Thailand accent.
That's
wanna be that's a North...
That's my rock.
That's his rock.
North but I thought it sounded more like a Northsider trying to do a Southsider accent.
Chang.
Dude, there are international listeners going, what's happening here?
Oh, this is...
It's hard to explain. Do you know what, actually, I don't particularly want to divert people.
No,
through, I just think there's young people involved here.
But I also think, I think they're doing it on purpose.
Well, I hope they are, and I hope they're all taking it in their stride. Anyway. But a part of me does worry they're, like...
It's a very Irish thing.
Shook.
Eddie Pepperell...
You know, I think?
Shook. The whole thing really sort of passed me by. Oh, I heard it and went,
meh.
Young, rich kids are on holidays enjoying themselves, and they are not like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, I'd be leaving them at it.
Eddie Pepperell was disqualified during the third round of the Turkish Airlines Open on Saturday for a reason that very rarely happens.
You make it sound like it was just Saturday just gone and not like a month ago.
Yeah.
He got disqualified of a Saturday.
Of a Saturday. Sorry, apologies. Yes.
Sometime in the last 3 months.
He ran out of golf balls.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Clearly he didn't want to play. He's having problems with his game or problems, whatever.
He had just gone birdie-birdie, actually.
But did he not want to play? I thought this was, he was playing along and went, balls.
He's playing with Martin. So it's still disputed weeks later whether he lost four or five balls. But so my question...
That's because, by the way, it seems he hit them so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, so, it was like drop, done.
He
it was total
tin-cupped
it. Total tin-cupped
it. He tin-cupped it. But, so, I have a couple of questions. One, who on earth starts a round of golf with only five golf balls in your bag?
Is that not the caddy's responsibility?
Yeah, I guess. Actually, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, number one. Number two,
you didn't really want to
answer
that question.
Even though you can't use someone else's clubs, you can ask for another player for balls if you want.
They have to be playing the same brand of ball, though.
Oh, really?
Ah, damn.
Only asterisk.
So he's playing with Martin Kaymer.
And Kutsia.
Yes. So, but Martin Kaymer says he never asked me for a ball. But he went. And also, he didn't putt with his putter. He putted with his wedge on the third hole.
Why?
It was clear he wasn't that interested in being there.
Yeah.
So instead of kind of checking to see, are any of you boys playing with a Strix on or a Titleist or whatever ball you're playing? No. He just walked off. He went, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie Pepples,
and I'm a big fan of Eddie Pepples.
We all are, you know. So he's probably a sensitive person, complex person, deep thinker. Just wasn't
funny
in the mind,
man on
mind
Twitter.
Frame to do it. Like, my instant thought was, I hope he's okay.
Mm.
Not, you know, if who's a good example? I was going to say Daly, but Daly has his demons as well. If Rory Sabatini did it, I'd say, well, he's just lost his shit, because that's just kind of...
That's how he does.
He has a temper.
Mm. Yeah, he does.
When Pepperell did it, I thought, oh, I hope
what's
he's okay.
Going on here?
I hope he's okay. That was my kind of sense of things. But, I mean, it's mad, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's funny. Maybe he's clearly a hyper-intelligent man, because the jokes he makes on Twitter are generally of a much higher standard than your average sports bear.
His blog's good and all that.
His
business.
Blog is good, so who knows. There was that. But I only read this last week.
So are we in agreement here that none of us are gripped by golf just at the moment?
Well, so much so that the other big thing that gripped my attention this week was Jin Young Ko.
Go on.
The world's best female golfer.
Mm-hmm.
So the LPGA have got their season finale this week.
Mm-hmm.
And... So there's a $2.5 million purse with the winner getting $500,000. But so that's whatever. And then they've changed it all around. It's like they're trying to do something similar to the what you may call
FedEx.
It? The FedEx. But so goes to show you, I don't follow the LPGA as closely perhaps as others do, but
we follow very closely. We had a player in here,
Steph
in
Meadows. Yeah. So here's the thing,
Meadow.
Right? So
not Meadows. Meadow.
Meadow.
Not
Steph
like Meadows and Byrne.
Yeah. Steph Meadows was here.
Not Jeff Hendricks.
No. Oh, yeah. Not Meadows. Meadow.
Got it.
Steph Meadow.
Got it.
Steph Meadow, Jeff Hendrick.
So.
Damien Delaney was in the other night.
Hendricks.
Absolute Hendricks all over the show.
Damien Delaney also thinks that Ronaldo's a better player than Messi, which is mental.
I'm going to play him that clip sometime.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
He's not to be messed with.
Yeah, he would. Big man, big unit.
What is he going to do?
Back to your Blanche days.
Dork.
He won, or Jin Young Ko, number one player in the world.
Yeah.
Winner of the Rolex Annika Major Award, Rolex Player of the Year Award. She is going to add the VAR Trophy for low scoring average and the LPGA money title.
Uh-huh.
In her second year on the LPGA.
Yeah.
Like, she was a rookie.
See, I'm not, but there is no dominant player on
that's what I mean.
The LPGA.
And all of a sudden, she's just eating everybody up.
I think that would be good for the game. I think it needs someone to go and win eight majors. Mm. Someone for us all to
get a three or four year period to get to know.
Who is the next Annika Sorenstam?
Everything revolves around that person. Because at the moment, it's like, oh, another new major winner.
Well, even they potentially could have had a story around Suzanne Pedersen and this incredible comeback. Has barely played in 18 months, holds the winning putt at the Solheim.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm done.
Yeah. No need to look out for me at the next event. Yeah. By the way, one other thing to mention. Jonathan Caldwell is now a European Tour player. Congratulations to him. This has taken a lot longer than he might have thought. There was a picture during the rounds of him and Lowry and McIlroy in their amateur days, Walker Cup team kind of territory. So he has now made it. That's another player from the country on the European Tour. And the President's Cup. Excited by that. Koepka out, Fowler in.
The only bigger news if Tiger played himself.
He is playing.
Oh, he is.
Gary picked himself.
Oh, he picked himself.
You didn't see the hilarious tweet he put out.
No.
Tiger Woods, fifth pick for the President's Cup is Tiger Woods. Mm. He was delighted with it.
Gary Woodland, Patrick Reed, Tony Finau himself all picked, and now Fowler's gone in there. Fowler, by the way, withdrew last week from the Mayakoba Golf Classic with an intestinal bacterial infection, which he contracted during his wedding in October.
Jeez,
that is a bad dose.
I mean, October too.
That is a bad dose. Is that early?
November.
You get yourself out of here, we're charging you 300 quid.
What time is your flight? 10 to 7?
Yeah, I mean...
How long, for a flight to the UK, when would you...
Like if I'm there, like half an hour before.
Half an hour?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Half an hour? Are you a half hour?
No, I'm a 1 hour.
Yeah, no, I try to be
I
1 hour.
So that I'm at the airport 1 hour before.
Yeah, I'm the same. But like, you know, in an emergency, I'm not, I would...
But the way I look at it is, you can check in your bag up to 40 minutes. So
I don't check in a bag.
You're checking in a bag?
No, I'm not checking in a bag, but other people are. So what's the issue if me turning up an hour beforehand?
Oh, that's a fair point. I didn't know you could check in your bag that late. Yeah. So what do you do? Get there 50 minutes through security and ensure you're golden. Yeah. Fair enough. They never board on time anyway.
When are you flying out to the UK?
No, they only board on time when you're coming back from the UK.
That's right.
And you're in Liverpool Airport in the middle of winter and your flight's at 10 past 10. And quarter to 10, they say, final boarding.
Ouch.
And an hour and a half later, your flight will eventually land for you to get on board.
Okay.
But everyone in the airport just wants to go home, so they just...
They do the same turn. In Manchester. Right. They do the exact same thing in Manchester, where they go boarding. So you could be anywhere in the airport and you look up and it says boarding now in red. But the flight hasn't even arrived.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I learned from all my travels. You probably know this.
Go on.
Dubai, world's busiest airport.
Mm. Is it?
And potentially biggest.
Is it the world's busiest?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they made a big thing of this. Busiest by a distance.
Which is?
Ultimate transport hub.
Because Atlanta, I thought, was the world's busiest.
Certainly America's, but they said world's for sure. Geez, they are to the minute in terms of boarding and leaving.
Yeah.
Like clockwork. Yeah, not bad.
Mm. I mean, it's always disappointing. The same Abu Dhabi airport, which is smaller, and Doha airport, is the shopping is brutal if you don't earn 300 grand a year.
Yeah, well, that's true of Dubai as well. Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't afford a Givenchy, you know, face cloth.
We did get off the plane in Dubai and were bussed to the terminal. And this was at like...
2 in the morning.
Yeah, maybe midnight, somewhere to midnight one. So I just fully expected it would be pleasant. Bit of heat, but, you know, maybe even cold. Who knows, desert gets cold, I don't know. I've never been that part of the world. Got off the plane, it was 31 degrees and cooking. I was like, what are these people doing at 2 in the day? I couldn't believe it. Like, we barely could make it to the bus. It was 31 and, like, oven. And looking out the plane, I thought, I was saying to Kiwi, it could be chilly here when we get out. This is oppressive.
Like, in the middle of summer, like in the middle, say, in July, in the day, it's like 49 degrees.
It's an indoor life, isn't it?
Roll on, Qatar 2022.
That's what I know.
Joe gets off plane. Bloody hell, that's hot.
Yeah.
It's the middle of winter, and I packed for the winter.
Yeah, I know. They play the matches at like 3 a.m.
Well, I mean, the air conditioning in the stadium apparently works now, but it's the drinking outside somewhere that's going to be unpleasant.
Should we just do a travel podcast for the next 3 months?
What's next in the golfing world? President's Cup.
We'll have to do our review of the year. Yes. You've been itching to do it for about the last...
It's back the first week in December.
So we can do it then.
Target one then.
The season ender. Everything is the end of the season.
This week.
Well, or sorry. Wraps the year, doesn't it? And then the next thing to look forward to is Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
The President's Cup.
Ugh. No one will watch that, really. I won't.
Where's it on? Royal Melbourne?
Yeah.
Who's on the other team? The rest
of the world.
Ernie Els is captain.
Jason Day.
Yeah.
Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Any South Africans?
Yeah. Louis Westhuizen's on it. Yeah.
Brandon Grace get picked?
I think so.
We're really good at this, aren't we?
I think so.
We're excited about it. I know. That rivalry between America and the rest of the world is one for the ages.
Mm. It is one for the ages.
Come here, did you see Joker?
Yes.
Not yet, no.
What did you think?
I hated it.
Do not... Tell me anything that happened.
He turns evil.
Oh my God, it's the origin story of Joker.
Yeah, I don't want to know anymore. I'm sure there's more to it than that.
I hated it.
I was a bit disappointed.
That was rubbish.
The other night. Well, he's thrown out to the door, so I need to check if I was the only one who kind of thought.
I was in a coffee shop and the
only compelling the whole way through, but it just
I tweeted about it at the same time. It's a strange film in that it manages to be relentlessly tense and incredibly boring at the exact same time.
Okay, Grant, I agree with that. Have you watched Succession?
I love every moment of it.
Have you seen season 2?
Yes.
Oh, don't talk to me about it.
I will send you a link.
Oh, will you? Do send me a link.
Not just a link that will Chromecast as well if you have that kind
of. Oh, beautiful. This
I can only say that a thing of joy.
We're only at season 1.
Yeah, no. A thing of joy for the ears is the way Brian Cox says, "Fuck off." Yeah. It's magnificent.
Fuck off.
Tom is the great character.
Oh, Tom is great. That is,
I just can't get over it.
You're like more Cousin Greg to me.
Cousin Greg's interesting. I'd like to read an analysis because he sees everything, even
he
though
he sees everything.
Thick as shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the character, the guy actually plays him is so good at playing someone who's just incoherent.
But is he thick as shit, or is he actually the smartest of them all?
See, he does say very smart things.
He does.
That's why I think if this was
if he has to do anything, he can deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I do feel like if this was a Dickensian novel and our English teacher was analysing each character, Greg would be like far superior than we all think.
It's strange because the eldest, he's the most compelling character.
Kendall.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing. Kendall is great.
When he starts talking like this, so we can get
it's kind of weird. He. Oof.
And what do we think of young Culkin's turn?
He's fine.
Not as funny as I think they all think.
No.
No, that's it. That's very well put, actually. Yeah, he's not as
just
funny.
Just a bit
as
of a dick.
Yeah. But isn't everyone in...
Oh, they're all horrible.
Oh, they're all... They're it's great how dislikable
people.
They are.
Yeah, they're all disgusting people. But seriously.
Succession then, okay. I didn't like the first episode or two.
Because very quickly you go from, the Brian Cox character is the despicable one, to about halfway through going, actually...
You think that Siobhan Roy will be like she'll be the good one. But she's not. She's terrible. She's as bad as all the others.
Yeah.
Venal,
we're
cruel.
Just getting to that, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
But Tom is a great character because he's...
Oh, good. It's just so
he's
good.
He's a great actor. Is it Matthew McFadden or whatever? Yeah. He's a brilliant actor. Yeah. There's a couple of good series. The Crown is back.
I've watched the first episode.
Thanks a lot, Prince Andrew. You've ruined the Crown for everybody.
God, that interview.
Oh, man.
I think what happened there was, obviously, he's got people around him. And I would say, in their private moments, they would have said to themselves, he can't pull this off. Like, he doesn't have the smarts. He'll get destroyed. Even if Emily Maitlis, who gave him a very fair time, even if she does that, he'll just keep digging. It'll be a disaster. But I just think, even if they said that to him, a life of privilege has imbued him. And so he doesn't actually... he's too lacking in self-awareness to understand just how badly he was going to...
All of these things are true. It's also worth pointing out is that...
But the Queen has got rid of him now.
Yeah. Well, she's asked him to step back from all his public
duties. So he loses a salary of 250,000.
He loses.
He was getting a salary of 250 sterling.
He's going to lose
that. Taxpayers don't pay for Prince Andrew.
Is that confirmed?
Confirmed. I think there's talk now that the Queen will privately cover her cost. Although, as I saw Neil O'Riordan tweet, did she make her money on the paper round? She did.
I swear to God. I was watching it in England and in the north of England, which is staunchly Republican. You know, there's a strong Republican sentiment. So I'm watching it, and at one point someone goes, "Jesus. He's such an idiot. Like, he really, really is."
Like, if you were his advisor, you would have said, "Look, even if the sweat thing is true, don't say it."
Yeah, it's just dumb.
The sweat thing is just a weird thing to
talk about. Well, I was listening to Anton Savage, who's obviously a PR guru, talking about it on
Terry Prone's
Rourke on Monday. And it was like, basic PR for an interview like this is, you've run through it so many times, the worst that can possibly happen has already happened. So the worst possible line of questioning that you have to face, you've already gone through several times.
Yeah.
So how they could have gone through the story of the sweating, the Pizza Express, and nobody saying, it just doesn't sound very plausible.
Nobody who has worked in Pizza Express has stepped forward to say, I remember when Prince Andrew was there.
No, but even then it doesn't, because...
That's only the afternoon.
But that's the thing. Nighttime. The point was, so you're at Pizza Express at 5 in the evening, but we're talking about
11 o'clock.
8 hours later.
Yeah.
Somewhere an hour down the road.
Yeah.
Also, when he stayed in New York and he, in 99 and whatever, he's like, I was staying in the Consul General. And the Consul General's come out and goes, I don't remember him staying with me. And the record shows that he didn't.
But it's also not credible. It's not credible that you would. So imagine you were to turn up to someone and say, I need to have a conversation, which is that we're not friends or associates ever again. That's an awkward conversation. It is not credible that you would say, I'm going to go and have this conversation with this person. And then afterwards be like, So are we still going back to yours where I'm staying?
And are you going to have a dinner party for me?
Well, like, but he stayed with him for 4 days.
It's also not credible that he didn't speak to him. He didn't speak to him for 2 years.
You're a terrible paedophile. Dinner?
Yeah, yeah, sure. You just, you know.
He didn't speak to him for 2 years before going to New York, but he still felt the need to break up their friendship? Hmm. Hmm. I was so, anyway, so I said, someone said, oh, geez, he's an awful idiot, isn't he? And I made the comment. I was like, I know, yeah, but with the royal family, the bar is set pretty low.
And they were like, his favourite son.
I know, and usually, I don't know, Charles, he's pretty smart. And I'm like, are you mental? Like, none of them are smart.
Are they not?
No.
Are they not well educated?
No. I mean, they all went to a really super expensive school, but like, much like the horse at the water, you know, you can...
I think William has his shit together, no?
Sorry, I meant of that older generation.
Of the older generation.
Yeah, I don't know. William, maybe he's awful. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. But I mean, it's also, Andrew's born into a life where he is fundamentally useless. Like, he's never going to be king. He's the younger brother of the heir to the throne. So what's his job? Like, nothing.
You can watch season one of, or season three, episode one of The Crown. This is a common theme. I mean, next in line.
Yeah.
It's no fun.
No, it's no fun. But the, what have you watched Watchmen?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
Watchmen on Sky Atlantic. It's really good.
The Crown and Succession is plenty at the moment.
Really, really good.
Send me that link. I had a terrible moment. Like,
more.
Not only have Sky obviously jeopardised golf for the average man, I was midway through episode two of season two of Succession. My laptop died. I turned it back on. And Sky had got rid of the entire series.
Oh, that's right. I heard.
They do that all the time with stuff.
It's an outrage.
For rights, isn't it?
They got rid of
I Thierry Henry you there.
You did, yeah.
I went like that. Oh, my God.
That makes you Jamie Carragher. Oh, no, you're Henry, you're Jamie Carragher.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's better for me.
Don't spit in me.
Now, what was I going to say? They did that with The Affair. They've done that with loads of stuff.
Yeah, they have.
You just cut a season. They did it with Game of Thrones a while back as well.
Yeah.
Right. You. What are you doing? What's on your menu today?
Okay, I gotta go.
Got a interview with
Kieran Lucid. At 5 o'clock.
Half five.
Ah, you've lost.
Bit of John Giles prep.
You've loads of time.
All right.
And Fionn Davenport, you've got a flight.
I'm going to the airport.
So we're doing our season review.
I somehow have to edit this shit show. So I mean,
this is great.
No editing.
Stream of consciousness. Let it out right now.
Listen, you can't be tweeting in going, "Come on, lads, just give us something," and then we give you
everything.
What have we given there? You think Eddie Pepperell bailed out of the Turkish Airlines on Saturday?
I gave them the inner turmoil of my teenage bullying.
That's true. I've forgotten about that.
They should tune into the full. Tune into the full Irishman abroad for your.
That's Can I just, thank you for listening, by the way.
Can I request something with your permission?
Can you what?
Can I request something with your permission?
Yeah, go on.
Tweet in if you went to school with Fionn and or bullied him, and give us your perspective
on
the Yank who rocked him.
I'd be curious. Maybe I came across as like a know-it-all little.
He was so arrogant.
I couldn't imagine it.
He started talking about linguistics.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we apologize. Look,
my accent sounds like this because.
Yeah. Hey guys.
Obviously, listener, this isn't one of our better efforts, but
it's an effort nonetheless.
This one kid in my class, he asked me. He goes, because I was so nervous and scared of not fitting in, he said, so remember, this is 83, 84, so you two were just kind of, and he goes, do you like U2? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he goes, so how would you spell it? And I was like, Y-O-U-T-O-O.
Oh, no.
And that cost me a lot.
That's a few weeks setback.
Yeah, big time. Anyway, all right.
We are done.